It is good to see everyone that's here this morning, and we truly do appreciate your presence. As Brian said, Jeff and Terry are both in love today. I think the little grandson that they're about to adopt has his birthday today, James, and they're going to be there for that. Got a note from Paul this morning. He said both he and Karen were sick and would not be able to be here. Peggy called yesterday, and she's got an upper respiratory infection where she just barely can talk. She's taking medicine, hopes to get over it. And then last night, Gary called me and said he bumped his knee and he couldn't even walk, couldn't hardly move even with the walker. So we got some problems in our congregation. I'm praying that our birthdays are all catching up with us. But anyhow, it's good to see everyone. It's always good to see Jeff and Carrie. We really appreciate y'all being here. We're going to talk for just a little while this morning from a study that we, one of the assignments, as we're going through the books of John. We're going to be in the third book of John today, and we're going to deal with the 5th through the 8th verse. Now, this is a writing that the Apostle John made to Gaius. And I think that the important part about this, and I'll try and conclude by pointing this out, Gaius was a churchman. He was a church leader, but he wasn't an apostle. He was not an evangelist, but he was just a church person. He was just a member of the church. And these are the words that the Apostle John wrote to this man Gaius in 3 John, starting with verse 5 through 8. Beloved, you do faithfully whatever you do for the brethren and for strangers who have borne witness of your love before the church. If you send them forward on their journey in a manner worthy of God, you will do well, because they went forward for his name's sake, taking nothing from the Gentile. We therefore ought to receive such that we may become full workers for the truth. Now there's a lot of information in these 4 verses, 5, 6, 7, and 8. And it is from the Apostle John, and he writes to this member of the church, Gaius, and he commends Gaius for the way he is taking on the preachers that come through, these itinerant preachers that were preaching the gospel. They had evangelists back then, and they had a duty to go to each of the churches and to spread the gospel. And Gaius was mindful of that, and he was responsible for these itinerant preachers. This letter, John 3, is written and centers around four men. Of course, John, who's the writer and the apostle that's writing to this church. It is to Gaius, who is a member of this church, and a man that John commends. It is written to the Eutropes, which is an egotistical leader in this church that mistreats the traveling preachers, and it is written to a man by the name of Demetrius, who was a leader of good reputation. And all of these men represent a negative and a positive. John 3 is a letter that was to be circulated amongst the different churches of the area. It is a letter that is positive. John 2 is a letter that is negative. As Paul discussed last Sunday, John 2 was written to the elect lady, a member of the church that was taking in these itinerant preachers, but they had fooled her, and they were men that were false teaching a false doctrine. They were false teachers teaching false doctrines, and she was showing hospitality to these men and putting them up, and they were betraying the truth. They were misleading the congregation. And John was very negative in his writing to this elect lady. He said, you don't do this. These men are not true evangelists. But in John 3 now, he writes to the man Gaius, and it is a very positive letter. It is a companion letter to show the negative and now the positive, because Gaius is being commended because he is rightly dividing these evangelists, and he is supporting those that are true, and he is being hospitable to them. John 3 tells how to treat good preachers and corrects those that mistreat them. Gaius was a good, hospitable, loving member of the church. And he received these preachers that came in and spread the truth. He's an evangelist, and he supported their efforts. We're going to read about this commendation that the Apostle John made to this church member, Gaius. Let's have a word of prayer.
John is known as the Apostle of Love. And in all of the books, in all of the writings of the Apostle John, the common denominator in the things that he says is always about love. Love for God, love for one another, love for the church, and the unity and the compassion that is brought about by love. He speaks about truth. He talks about love. And these things are common denominators in every word that the Apostle John writes. In the third book of John, and we're discussing this morning, he continues to reaffirm to us and to the church this theme of love as he writes to this man, Gaius. He says, based upon the truth that is being in Christ and about loving God and about loving the people of God, John says that because of this truth, he loves Gaius. He calls him his beloved. The next progressive step that John goes to after he declares the love that he has for this man, Gaius, is that he would pray for him. And he prays for Gaius. He says that he prays that Gaius would be spiritually and physically prosperous in his life. We are to rejoice with our brethren. We see that they have good things and good times, and that is exactly what John is saying here. Walking in truth is a life of honesty, uniformity in thoughts and works and action. And John tells us that this can only be accomplished when we have the truth in us and when we are motivated by the love. It's a common theme through every word that the Apostle John ever wrote. The primary teachings that we are reading about this morning in the 5th to the 8th verse of the 3rd book of John is about hospitality. And he is speaking of the hospitality that Gaius, this member of the church, had toward the preachers that came in, because there were evangelists that the Lord had sent throughout the countries and throughout the churches to teach the Word of God. And these were important people. And Gaius was accepting these people and receiving them with hospitality. Hospitality means that it is one that would receive strangers and treat them with love and care. And Gaius was treating these strangers to him that were traveling through different places to spread the gospel. And the actions that he had towards these strangers was motivated by the love not only that Gaius had to God himself and to the church, but also the love that he had for these fellow men. Isaiah 58 tells us that we need to stretch forth our hand for the needy. And the Bible tells us that when we love God, we show it in our deeds. It's not something merely that is said, but it's something, an action. And when we receive those that would come into our communities, into our church, those that are teaching the truth, especially these evangelists, when we feed them and take care of them, when we're kind to the fatherless and to the orphans and to the widows in need, this is the pure and the undefiled religion which John teaches as being truth and being the love that we are to demonstrate one to another. Love, then, is not a noun, but it is a verb when it's used in this case. It is a feeling, but it is not the feeling so much as it is the responsibility that we have as a Christian, that we are to be kind to strangers and love strangers. And we don't have to be rich and we don't have to be prosperous to be able to do this. In fact, the Bible teaches us, and the poor widow that gave back to God everything that she had, sharing the little that we have shows a much more godliness than just showing from the abundance that we had. When we offer something when we have nothing, it means a whole lot more than offering something when we have a lot. This is the sacrifice that the Bible teaches us as what we are to do when we submit to the will of God. According to Matthew 10, starting in verse 9, it is a Christian responsibility that we have to show hospitality to those individuals, those evangelists, that are spreading the truth of the gospel amongst our brotherhood. This is our responsibility as an individual and also as a church, that we support these evangelists as they go through the country and they spread the word of God. Romans 12:13 says that a righteous God will reward those that show hospitality. Gaius had this love for his fellow man. He had this love for these itinerant preachers that came through. And John is commending this man in a way that we all ought to wish for. He's commending the love and the hospitality and the support that he has to this man, to those evangelists that are speaking the word of truth. So the summary of everything I'm trying to say this morning is that Gaius was a believer, a church member, who is commended by the Apostle Paul for things that we really all should hope to hear from the Apostle. Bible scholars tells us that this writing probably occurred in Ephesus, because that is where John spent the latter part of his latter years. The estimation of the time that it was written, a few Bible scholars might say that it happened just before the destruction of Jerusalem, which occurred in AD 70, but most say that it was probably in AD 90 to 95. And John was an old man at this time. The purpose of the apostle, of this epistle, was to be a companion to 2 John, where John warned the elect lady about the hosting of false teachers and said she should not do this because they were bringing stuff into the church that didn't need to be brought. This was the negative that John wrought in John 2, but yet in John 3, this is positive because this is writing about the goodness and the hospitality that Gaius showed. Beloved, he said in verse 5, you do faithfully whatever you do for the brethren and for strangers who have borne witness of your love before the church. John said, you've done well, Gaius. You've done well. You have supported these people. You have helped these people when they came through. And to prove what John was saying, he goes right back to these same old themes that he's always used, his vocabulary of the truth and love, my precious children, those that I receive, all of these themes that John has based his entire writings on, he reverts back to here in this third letter that he writes to Gaius. He begins in verse 2. He said, speaking to Gaius, that you may prosper in all things, be in health, just as your soul prospers. Now this is a blessing that is inclusive. It is inclusive of physical blessings. It is inclusive of spiritual blessings. It is inclusive of material blessings. John says in this to Gaius that you may prosper in all things, be in health. But then he concludes with this somewhat strange final statement, as your soul prospers. Now John had pronounced a blessing upon Gaius here because he was doing the things that he was supposed to do and he was part of the greeting. But there's a danger here. And I guarantee you these television preachers have all picked this up and they're preaching a doctrine that is very false and is absolutely not what the Apostle John said. We've got all these health and wealth preachers that are on television every day that tell you if you're a Christian, if you've accepted God, God wants you to be healthy, God wants you to be wealthy, and if you want to be prosperous, you need to do You need to be a member, you need to be a Christian, and you need to send me money so that I can help you be prosperous. And it's a strong game, it's a strong thing that they're preaching. It's absolutely 180 degrees what the Apostle John was teaching. John was not guaranteeing that those that believed in Jesus would be physically and financially blessed if they were growing in Christ. And there isn't a verse in the Bible anywhere that claims that if we are in Christ, we're going to be wealthy and healthy, and everything is going to be great in all aspects of our life, because that simply is not taught. And insisting and teaching that God is obligated to make us wealthy and healthy if we will be part of His family, that's not what John says, and that's not the truth. John, rather, is commending Gaius and his commitment to grow spiritually and to mature in the Lord. John said, this is my prayer, Gaius, that you may be financially and physically blessed, but that your physical and your health blessings would mirror your spiritual wealth. That's why he says in this last phrase, I want you to be prosperous just as your soul prosper. So what he's saying, I want you to prosper in this life as you mature and prosper spiritually in your spiritual life. I want you to be as wealthy and healthy in your physical life as you are in your spiritual life. I think this is very important teaching, and I think there's a lot of people that have misinterpreted this
And this may have been some of the same foolishness that these false teachers were teaching when he spoke to the elect lady in John 2 and said, you don't need to be hostile with these people because they're bringing something to you that is deceptive. John is teaching those that if they are right in their spiritual life, then, you know, it's really not if they're right spiritually, then these other things are not really as important. But he is not saying that those that are spiritual will also be wealthy in the pocketbook. In fact, when the Bible reads, and we read the examples in the Bible, there's greater occasions for growth when people are blessed, yes, spiritually, when they are financially, and maybe physical, that they're having some shortcomings. 1 Timothy 6, verse 5 and 8, Paul speaks to Timothy. He said, talking about these useless wranglings of men and the corrupt minds that are destitute of truth, who suppose that godliness is a mean of gains. And that's what these wealth and health teachers are teaching today. They're teaching that godliness is a means of physical wealth. He said, from such withdraw yourself, speaking to the young man Timothy. Godliness with contentment is great gain. But we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we will carry nothing out. And having food and clothing, with these we shall be content. John rejoices with his son in the flesh, as the Bible speaks it here, following his example. He says in verse 5, he said, you do what you do faithfully. You are supporting these preachers. You are helping these preachers in a physical way and in a financial way. And he said, you're doing it out of your loyalty to God. You behave in a way that commends not only yourself, but it commends the church and the other members in the church. He said, you have borne witness of your love before the church in verse 6. These traveling preachers were told that the church of Ephesus would accept them and that they would be compensated for the work that they did. And they were sent away, fairly compensated, I suppose primarily because of the works of this man, Gaius. It says that they were brought forward on their journey. They were allowed to journey on to other areas to continue their work and to continue their teaching because they had been compensated fairly in the congregations that they attended. Verse 8, it says that the church that Gaius belonged to, that they were fellow helpers that were able to give these traveling ministers the support that they needed. The Bible tells us that a workman is worthy of his hire. Gaius worked with the traveling preachers and God. He was supportive of them. He was hospitable with them. And he showed them the love and the kindness which John said was an exemplary thing that he should do. He was a growing Christian, and as he grew in spiritual maturity, the church also grew. And Paul said that he was a good example that they were to follow. I think what I can finally gain from all of this as we read it, our goal is to be healthy. We are to live a good lifestyle. We're to avoid those things that hurt us in a physical way. But the primary goal of a human being is not to build the body as much as it is to build the spiritual. To be strong and healthy and wealthy in the physical sense means absolutely nothing if we're not strong and healthful in a spiritual sense. 1 Timothy 4 and 8, John, as he continues to write to the young preacher Timothy, says that bodily exercise profits a little, but godliness is profitable for all things, having promise of the life that now is and that of which is to come. As part of the family of God, John teaches, we have a rich inheritance. Through the Word of God, we learn what we're supposed to do, what we can expect in Christ. If we have the love that we are to have, as we have learned throughout these three books of John, we can learn the truth and have the truth and enjoy the truth, and that walking in the truth of who we are and what we are and what we have in Christ, John said, this is important. This is important. And Paul backs him up when he said, bodily exercise is good. You need to exercise your body. You need to protect your body. But it's very, very small when it's compared to spirituality. Philippians 4, verses 11 through 13, Paul is writing to the Philippian church. He said, I speak to you in regard to need,
Because I've learned that whatever state I am in, I am content. He says, I know how to be abased. I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I have learned to be full, and I've learned to be hungry. I have learned to abound, and I have learned to suffer needs. Because I can do all things through God to strengthen me. Here's another little phrase that's kind of taken out of context by the teachers today. But Paul says, I can do everything. My physical health is not important if my spiritual health is good. He continues in speaking here in verse 5. He demonstrates the faith that Gaius had to the brethren and to strangers as being faithful in what you were doing. Gaius was a man that could be counted on. I think it's important here, but the people that he was hospitable to were people he probably had never met. They were strangers, but he was gracious to them. He didn't know them personally, but by listening to these people and making the determination that they were truthful in their teachings, he did know personally the one that they served. They represented Christ was enough for Gaius to be hospitable and to be assortive, to be supportive of them. And he demonstrated his love before the church. I read a little statement here. I thought it was pretty good. It says, one can give without loving, but one cannot love without giving. And I think that is the common denominator of everything that John is writing about here, is love and unity for God, for the fellow man, for the church. And that's what he's commending Gaius on. One grows mature, one begins to mature in his spiritual sense. He will be more able to reflect the Spirit of God. According to John 3:16, God so loved the world that he gave his begotten Son. He loved, he gave. It's exactly the same thing he's saying to Gaius. You love, you gave of your hospitality and your support. Gaius wanted the support of these evangelists so that the gospel might be spread into these areas. He knew that the pagans in the area would not recognize the need for the gospel. He knew that the pagans in the area would not support these evangelists as they taught the gospel. And he knew that if people did not hear the gospel from these true teachers, they would never learn the truth. I think we're covered with that same commandment today. We have a responsibility as a church to teach the gospel and to send evangelists and to be in the communities and in the world teaching people what they need to know. Because if we don't teach them, if the evangelists don't teach them, and someone does not support the evangelist, the world will never hear. He demonstrated that. Romans 10:14-15. Paul says, how then shall they call on him in whom they've not believed? How are you going to know what to do if you don't believe in Jesus? How shall they believe in Jesus of whom they have not heard? How shall they hear about Jesus without a preacher? And how shall the preacher preach if the preacher has not been sent? And he concludes, how beautiful are the feet of those that spread the gospel. Gaius understood this principle. He understood his responsibility to this principle. And he put his heart and he put his wallet where his beliefs were. Gaius knew that he was one member of a church. But he knew that if he added what he could accomplish to the contributions of the other members in the church, that the church would be able to accomplish far more than he would ever be able to do on his own, because the church is a body of many, and they work together for the welfare of the whole body. And that is the commitment that the Apostle John is making to this man, Gaius, commending him for his hospitality and for his love and for his support for these people that were necessary for the spreading of the gospel. So in conclusion, I think it's really useful that we can wonder just what these people were like 2,000 years ago in these first churches. How did they feel? How did they operate? What was life like in these early churches? You know, we're told a lot about Paul and James and John and Peter, these leaders. We know something about them. There's not much told us about the members of the different churches. We don't know here much about just the common, ordinary, average people in the church. Probably John in his writings gives us about as much of an outlook into to the members of the church as anyone, because he's talking to Gaius, and Gaius is, he may have been a church leader, I don't know, it doesn't tell us. Really, all we know about Gaius is he was a member of the church. Were people in the church 2,000 years ago, were they more spiritual than we are? Did they have the same problems we have today? Did they have problems that we do not have today? This was a private letter that was written by the Apostle John to this church member, Gaius, a Christian in this area. And it provides a very good portrait of three men. And Gaius is the one that we're talking about today, and it gives us a very good glimpse of life in the first century of the local church. When we learn the things that happened in the first church and the people that were involved, I think we learn that the church originally is made up of people just a whole lot like we are today. I think they probably had the same problems. I think they had the same needs. I think they had the same inspirations and aspirations for the church. I think that this epistle that John wrote to Gaius is extremely relevant. And I think that the commendation that John has for this man and his generosity, I think, is for our learning and for our admonition. Because just like Gaius lived for Jesus and worked for Jesus, we live and work for the same man. If we are hospitable and we sow this into the ministries, then I believe that we have the same commendation and the same reward that Gaius had. I close with a statement from 1 Peter 4:9. Peter said, "Be hospitable to one another without grumbling." And that's exactly what John was talking about when he wrote to Gaius. Anyone has needs of the church, we ask you to come forward as we stand and sing a song of invitation.